No, I'm just sweating.
I don't know what's got you upset, but my advice is stop crying.
I'm not crying. I'm just sweating.
Look, you need to pick yourself up. Man up, all right? So you will win this in the end. It's all about heart and character. Be your best self.
Okay.
Yeah. I have no idea what his problem is. It's just my standard advice. It's good advice, right?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Pete Holmes. I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast, because you're smart.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Will the soundtrack kindly produce a sound? Go on. Don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. My name is Will Kuntz, joining you again every Sunday, 6:15 p.m. right here on Radio St. Pete, 10:15 p.m. Monday, 4:15 a.m. Tuesday mornings, and of course on podcast at hmbradio.com, where you can get this podcast and James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite podcast, and more coming, including the Wove Sessions. We already had a snafu with the Wove Sessions this month. The band showed up late. We didn't get the interview section done that we did last time. But as far as I know, I have not spoken to Joey over at Wove Print Company thus far. But I believe we'll still have a music podcast coming out for the Wove Sessions. I should probably give him a jingle and see what's going on, though. So, what do we got this week? The Republican National Convention happened earlier this week. Controversy was his wife, I don't know her first name, Mrs. Trump, gave a speech, and apparently it was borrowed from a 2008 speech from Michelle Obama, which is not good, but this happens a lot. I think Joe Biden did it a few years ago. And personally, I smell a rat. I think something went on there. You pay speechwriters, okay? Politicians don't usually write their own speeches. I don't even think Obama writes his own speeches. I don't know that for sure to be true, so fact check me if you want. But I'm pretty sure most of these people do not write their own stuff. So I think that somebody in the Trump camp is a plant of some kind and intentionally did that to them. But, you know, who knows? It's a conspiracy. I don't think it's that big of a deal, frankly, but I know people will jump on anything. Both sides do that. Any little thing they will jump on and ride into the ground until nothing makes any sense anymore. And I guess there was some scuttlebutt about the Never Trump people making their last stand, trying to do something at the convention. I didn't really pay attention. It's not that I don't care. I just don't care. No, I do care. But, I mean, whatever at this point. I'm voting for a third party. I suggest you do the same. Even if it is a protest vote, I understand that the vote for a third party is a vote for the person you don't like. But if you do your research, go to isidewith.com. Take the quiz. It's a little long. It's 40 minutes if you really take your time with it. And find out who really represents you. And cast the vote for that person who best agrees with your beliefs. If everybody did that, the world would truly be a different place. Will people do that? No, of course not. They will vote for the lesser of two evils, as they always do and always have done, and probably we'll always do until we blow each other up or have a civil war. I think this is World War III. I think we're in it now, and I think it's a culture war, and I think that it's a cold war like that one was, and it's a guerrilla war. A lot of wars happening at the same time. And who will be the victor? White dudes. We always win. We're the best. Ha ha. Sorry, other people. We got to keep civilization alive. We're good at it, all right? I know you don't think so, but we're good at making systems. Sorry. So Creative Loafing silently published my one-and-done piece in Creative Loafing silently this past Monday, put it up. I happened to be looking at the comedy page there on cltampa.com and saw it. I didn't hear anything about it either way. They said they were going to put it up, and they were going to beef it up a little bit and show me how writing is supposed to be done and what they're looking for in the future. It is exactly the same as I wrote it. So go figure, right? Nobody wants to be honest anymore. And I understand that because everybody wants to be nice. But by being nice and then you're exposed, you end up just looking like a liar. And nobody likes liars. But anywho, I'm already working on some stuff. I'm going to self-publish on my website at hmbradio.com. I'm working on a piece about Kyle Roose right now, which will probably be up before this podcast even airs. So make sure you check that out. I got to do some... It's tough doing everything yourself, producing podcasts, getting guests, recording, doing your websites, doing the Facebook. It's a lot of work, but I definitely need to get on board with keeping up with the site more. I got to get somebody to... My friend Leah made the site, and I love it a lot, but it definitely... I've noticed since, you know, she's done everything to it, it needs some things. And Squarespace is very easy to use, which is what I use to build my website. But I don't know how to do it. And I just don't want to learn either. But I guess I have to. I can't be depending on other people to do all my stuff for me. So keep up with us on hmbradio.com. I got a bunch of pictures I got to upload. You know, other stuff, events. We got Sly Bar every second and fourth Tuesday for the stand-up comedy open mics, $50 cash prize for that, for the best comedian of the night from Sly Bar. They're big supporters of the Tampa Bay comedy scene here, and I really love those people very much. And we have John Jacobs and myself, who was the feature of my one-and-done Creative Loafing tale. Me and him partnered up on Thursdays at Yard of Ale from 10 to midnight. That's a fun open mic. It's chaos. It's a good get-drunk bar. So come down, have some beers, get drunk. 260 First Ave North every Thursday, 10 to midnight. And there's trivia before, too. A lot of people do that. People love trivia, man. They really go nuts for it. I think they give away, like, there's, like, a team of 20 people, and then first prize is, like, $40 in bar cash. So everybody gets a half of beer, and then that's about it. But people love it, and I don't think they go for the prize money. They're just going to have a good time, you know? The Trump wife's thing happened, and it's a conspiracy, I think. And speaking of conspiracies, I recently got back into Alex Jones and Infowars.com. I used to be a big listener when I was really into the conspiracy phase of my life in my earlier 20s. It is hilarious. I know it's gained some new, like, they got, I really like that guy, Paul Joseph Watson. He's really good. He's more of a commentator, just talks about culture and stuff like that. And I know that they've have broken some stories, and I'll listen to it just on podcasts a little bit if I'm driving or something, just listen. And I laugh a lot because they'll start saying stuff that I'm like, oh, that's pretty reasonable what you're saying right now. And then something out of left field comes out, and I'm just like, oh, God. They were talking about the Pokemon Go phase. And, of course, that is a CIA conspiracy plant, as Alex Jones called it, Pokemon, which made me laugh really hard in the car to myself for a good 35 seconds. Stop acting like you don't know how it's said. Everybody knows Pokemon, even if you don't play. I never played Pokemon in my life. I still heard people say it a lot. So I know how to say it. I know he's got kids. But I don't know. He's a weirdo. Maybe he doesn't let his kids play any of that stuff. I don't know. But if check out InfoWars. It is truly the WWE of political commentary. I was watching a video today where he's at the RNC, and he goes into the pit of these protesters that are protesting the RNC and starts doing his thing about the globalists and George Soros taking us down and, you know, the Black Lives Matter trying to divide us and all this stuff. And he's on a megaphone yelling this in the belly of the beast. And then some of the protesters waving their hammer and sickle flags started saying, "Nazi, go home." I don't know who threw the first push or punch or whatever. It really wasn't anything, but the title of the video was "Alex Fights Back." And he just kind of threw a forearm shiver into one of the protesters. And then one of the guys grabbed him by the head and took him down. It was hysterical. You have to check this out. I tweeted it out. It's from the Drudge Report. It's theater. It's political theater. You got to see it. Just check it out for a little while. It's nonsense. I understand that. But, you know, don't go there for news. But if you still enjoy the political arena and just want some commentary, entertainment, it's like a soap opera for politics. A lot of people like politics. It's a reality show. So just check it out if you have some time. And check it out. I tweeted out that video, home_made_man. You can follow me over there. To keep up with the show and other happenings, events, thoughts that I have sometimes. I don't even like to put thoughts out there anymore. I'm afraid I'm going to get fired. Not really. I don't care. This is the great thing about having your own stuff is you can't get fired from yourself unless you quit. And I thought about it a few times, but still haven't went that route yet. But anywho, this podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. They won't fire me. Those guys like me as a person. I don't know why, but they do. And our newest sponsor, Truvy Salon and Spa, Chrissy Parker down there, cutting some hairs, painting some nails. Go see her, 8908 4th Street North. Phone number 727-329-9751. Thank you to those people for sponsoring this show. Also got some exciting news today that I'm going to be the voice of the City Hall podcast. That's right, folks. Your boy Bill is going to be the host of, I don't think they've come up with a name yet, but it is the City of St. Petersburg's official podcast that they will be doing with Radio St. Pete. Mr. Mayor himself, Mayor Rick, Ben, I'm blanking. City officials, many of them will be on the show. I'll be hosting, already off to a good start, hosting that for them. And we're going to do that once every 2 weeks. And it's kind of going to be different for me. I have to be serious with this. I have to have serious discussions about real matters, real things that are happening in the city. I'll try. I'll do my best. So hopefully that will be coming within the next few weeks here. I think we're going to try to record the first one next week at some point. So that should be exciting. All right. So this week on the program, we have a comedian. Comes to Sly Bar quite frequently. I think he lives really far away, too. He lives in, like, Inverness, I want to say, somewhere that's quite a drive. And he usually always makes it out to Sly Bar. I know he just spent some time in India. He's doing the college thing as well. Tommy Gill is going to be joining me in the studio. We're going to talk about his trip. We're going to talk about comedy and whatever else comes up. So he'll be here shortly. What else do I have to tell you? I feel like there was one more thing. Did I write it down? Nope. Dang it. Okay. So Tommy Gill is joining me in studio through the magic of recordings and iPads. He'll be joining me momentarily here on the Homemade Broadcast, heard right here on RadioSt.Pete.com and HMBRadio.com. All right, Tommy, you made it.
Yeah.
You ended up on the other side of town somehow. How do you get lost with a GPS?
I put avenue instead of street.
Oh, Tommy. I send it, and I send it with the zip so you can just click it in the text message, and then it just pops up.
I don't think it was letting me do that. I searched it.
Because you have an Android. What's the matter with you?
Could be.
Not an Apple fan.
I don't know. My parents bought my phone for me.
Easy decision.
I'm just doing what they do.
Yeah. I had Apples for a long time. The iPhone and everything.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm getting off of this bandwagon. And this was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I got the Samsung Galaxy phone. And yeah, boy, yeah, did I hate that phone.
That's mine.
I thought it was the worst.
Never had an Apple, so maybe since I haven't had one, I can't tell how bad my phone is.
I don't think it's bad. So I know you can do more things, computer things, with the Androids.
You can get a lot of stuff for free. You can get a lot more stuff for free.
Right, and you can like develop stuff. But I don't do any of that. The only thing I do on my phone is social media, and that's about it. So I don't need it for me. So for my use, I think Apple is better.
That's fair. Well, you've used both, so.
Yeah.
This is one ignorant man's opinion. I don't have anything to compare mine to.
I'm just not tech savvy enough.
Tech savvy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. I should be tech savvy since I majored in computer science, but I'm not really.
You're still in school, though, aren't you now?
Yep.
Yeah. So did you get your degree in computer science? Or?
Yeah, I did my undergraduate. I'm doing my master's right now at USF in management of information systems.
Okay. What the heck is that?
It's like computer science, but with more business. It's like I get to tell other computer scientists what to do.
I think my friend Brian did that.
Yeah.
And he's an information systems guy at a business. And he's my best friend. I've known him for over 10 years. I was the best man in his wedding. And he told me this a long time ago. And then I finally asked him the other day, what does that mean? What do you do for your job? And then he's like, yeah, I pretty much just go in a computer and try to make things easier, try to patch things together, cut out people. And he was talking about how nobody really likes him at his new job. And I was like, yeah, but I think that's because you could potentially get rid of jobs, right? That's probably why they don't like you very much. And he's like, yeah, it could be. But I don't know. So you did computer science. Where'd you go to undergrad?
William & Mary.
Oh, that's a good school.
Yeah, I loved it.
That's in Indiana?
Well, it's Virginia.
Oh, Virginia.
Williamsburg. Okay. Yeah, really beautiful, beautiful place.
And you're doing stand-up comic, obviously. You make it to Sly Bar. I know you live, like, pretty far away.
Yes. Sly Bar is, like, just short of an hour.
And what city do you live in?
I live in New Tampa.
Okay, I said, like, Waimama or something. That was way off. But I knew it was somewhere far away.
Yeah, it's pretty far from everything.
Is there any like, comedy things happening in that area, that region of town?
No, not really. I mean, it'd be fun to start a mic there, but I don't know how many people would show up.
Well, I found that if you build it, they will come. So you have to do the work. I noticed that comedians are inherently lazy people. James Bailey ran a mic for a little while here at this really cool bar, Mix. And I told him what he needs to do. He has to go on the sites and list your event and all that. And he's like, oh, I don't really want to do that. Huh. I'm like, okay, well, your mic's not going to do that well. And sure enough, I think it went 3 weeks, and it shut down.
Short.
So you have to do the work. It's really not that much work. I mean, you just go on the internet and type in where it's at.
It's never as much work as you think it's going to be. Work's pretty intimidating, but once you get used to it, it's not too bad.
Yeah, you should start a mic out there. Why not?
Yeah.
Just got to find a bar.
Got a couple nice malls over there.
Do it in the mall. Yeah. We're doing it at the Red Lobster in the mall. It's going to be great. Come out. Seafood special is going to be on sale that night. I've seen people do that, though. I know Dave Hines does one at TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a hoot.
Sounds fun, yeah.
It just seems like a place where you wouldn't normally see stand-up comedy. Not a
Fridays,
venue.
Not really. Yeah.
Like, it's like doing a, it's the same thing as doing it at like a Chili's or an Applebee's.
Yeah.
Like, people aren't going there to watch a performance. They're going there to drink two for ones and eat cheap apps. And cheap I don't know what the crowd and the folk are like in there, but I can't imagine it's great
they
crowd.
They definitely wouldn't be ready for it, I guess.
Definitely not. So you went to William & Mary, good school. I know. I've heard of it, so I know it's a good school. In Virginia, did you start comedy out there?
Yeah, I didn't have a car, so I had to rent one, so I was only doing one a week.
You rented a car just to do comedy?
Yeah, I would say I spent as much. I only did one a week, so I spent probably as much doing that as I do like on gas for all the venues I go to now.
What about a bus pass?
Bus pass. It was pretty far away. It was like 37 minutes away.
Oh, really?
And I'd get done at 11. Maybe a bus could have worked. I don't know.
Or a bicycle.
That would have taken a while.
An hour on a bike.
At 11. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. That was the only place. What was the place called that you were?
Kazi's Comedy Club.
Oh, it was an actual club.
It was a comedy club. Yeah, there might. I wasn't really savvy on doing open mics at places other than comedy clubs, which you pretty much have to do.
Right.
Like, at that point, I actually started back when I was living in Tampa at Side Splitters when I was like 16.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
How'd you do?
I did pretty well, I think. I was using like Steven Wright type jokes back then.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you did good at 16. That's got to be it's a rarity, I'm sure.
I think I did pretty good. As I say, obviously you get the being 16 advantage.
Right.
And
everyone cuts you some slack.
Yeah. I think most 16-year-olds probably would have just gone up and done it and assumed they were funny. I knew I couldn't do that. So, I listened to a bunch of people. Steven Wright. I liked Steven Wright because I felt like if I could write the jokes, I could do that. I could perform it.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
I felt like I needed something funny on paper. Otherwise, I wasn't really confident enough to go up.
Yeah. I mean, you're not known for your electric personality, but you have a very dry wit about it. And when you are on stage, you do kind of pep up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
That's you turn it on.
That's why I do this. I do this because I want to be funny. I'm not really that funny in conversation and stuff. So, like, that's. But
did you, what,
I've
what
got,
when
like,
you,
a huge drive to be funny, so that's. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it takes work. It's not something you're like. Would you say you're naturally good at it, naturally gifted? Did people tell you, oh, you're hilarious, you should do stand up?
No, not at all.
Uh-huh.
No, not even close.
So it was work. I mean, it took the time to write jokes and then perform them and, you know, find out what worked and. From there.
Yeah.
So you started at Side Splitter 16, went off to college, William & Mary, and then I find it interesting here even that there's really no, you would think on campus there would be like a comedy club.
There might have been something. I think there was an open mic at a coffee shop, but I never went.
But not there. Probably a mixed type of thing.
It'd be a mixed thing. I still should have done it, but I was also scared to do it on campus where I live.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I liked keeping it separate back then.
Yeah, you don't want to defecate where you eat. I hear you. That's why I get lambasted. John Jacobs torments me because I don't do any time at these mics. I was like, first of all, I'm not claiming to be a stand-up comedian, number one. Number two, I don't want to, if I'm bad, like if I'm starting the show and I do some time and do some jokes and bomb.
Yeah, you screw up your credibility.
Like this guy stinks. I don't want to go to his open mic. So that's why I'd rather not even bother. I'm trying to eke my way back in. I did a few minutes at Yard of Ale because nobody was there. Nobody was listening anyways. It was Josh Santos, John, and so who else was there? Somebody else. And I just told them some jokes.
Okay.
And they looked at me and smiled. So I think I did okay. But, you know, easing my way back in, I'd like to get back out there. But I don't really have that passion for it. I don't really have that As soon as I'm done, I'm just happy to be done. It's a relief, you know, to be finished. But I don't have that. I want to do that again tomorrow type of thing. Do you have that after you get off stage?
Well, sometimes.
It's not a everyday thing for you, though, when you get up on stage? You're not like, I want to do that again?
Oh, when I do well, I want to do it again.
Yeah.
But
see, that's important, though. That's a little scary that you say, you know, it's on a case. I know one guy who was coming to the mics just to get better at public speaking. He would tell jokes, but not didn't want to be a comedian.
Acting's like a bigger passion for me than stand-up, I would say. I like stand-up better because it's sort of a standalone art. So I admire stand-up better. Acting's just like an interpretive art. It's not really a whole thing by itself. You need something to base it on, whereas stand-up's pretty much you made that.
Yeah, I say it all the time. It's the hardest performing art you can do. Because
yeah, I agree with that.
You can have a guitar and play music that you have that guitar behind you where you can eat away at that silence.
Rapping might be harder.
Rapping freestyle, would be tough.
Yeah, I've seen, like, I went to see Rio Paris when he did Club Sky.
Yeah.
And that was, like, a very intimidating crowd.
Was
like, it? They were booing people. I've never been openly booed, but that seemed to be standard fare over there.
Yeah. It's a little bit darker of a crowd over there. Lots of black folks going to the rap show. I don't think there was many. I went to one rap show in my entire life at Boomers in Seminole. It was Ace Hood. I don't know if you remember him. He had like one hit. This was probably 2001.
I don't know of him.
Me and my friend were the only white people there. It was really weird.
Yeah,
and then I kind of like, I guess I kind of understand where like the Black Lives Matter people are coming from, because if they're everybody's white, like that lives in your neighborhood, and then you go out into a black neighborhood, you feel weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I guess I kind of understand. Maybe the black experience is just being in a different space, in a different place. Does that make any sense?
Well, yeah, I get why All Lives Matter upset people. It was kind of a deflection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you keep up with any of that? Are you interested in politics or anything?
Politics doesn't really do it for me. I'm not, never been much of a political guy. That interests me like that much.
It's I'm pretty interested in it, but I don't want to be anymore. I'm so tired of everything that goes on. I still end up talking about it all the time, but I'm trying to wean myself off. But I don't know what else to talk about. My day-to-day is boring. My life is boring.
You can get into books.
Yeah, but then you got to read the books. That's the only thing. I don't have time to read books. I do, but
you
I like
to... You don't
I
have to read that much a day. I'm like the slowest reader I know.
Are you a book reader?
Yeah, I'm a lit guy, I'd say.
What book are you reading now?
Ulysses.
Ulysses?
Yeah.
That's like a classic. Isn't that like 800 pages?
Yeah, it's 800 pages.
That's a lot of pages.
Yeah, I'm not... Yeah, it's...
And the text is probably really small.
That particular one isn't doing much for me right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
I have a lot of half-read books where I get through halfway and then I just stop. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, you're going to school now at USF for your graduate degree. Is that going well, would you say? I know you just had a trip that you took out to India.
To be perfectly honest, my dad's like a professor there in the program I'm in, so I get like some nepotism bonus a little bit.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't hurt, I guess.
Nah.
Yeah.
But I did just go to India for a class in the program.
Was it? It seemed like a field trip because I just saw like pictures of you with elephants. Like, what did you do while you were out? Did you go to like classes out there?
Yeah. We had a class 8 hours a day with like a lunch break in the middle for 9 days, and then the rest of the time we did touristy stuff.
Was that like an exchange thing where some Indian students came over here and then sent some Americans over there?
Well, My program's practically all Indian. If I go to class, I'm pretty much one of the only white people in the class.
Yeah. I had a buddy that took engineering at USF, and he said it was the exact same. And his professors were all Eastern European, and he couldn't understand a word they were saying. He also played football, though, and got a lot of concussions. So I think that was part of his problem, that he just got brain damage and couldn't understand it. But who knows?
Could be.
So you're the how close are you to being done?
I got a year left.
Seems like a short period of time, but it's a long time. That's three semesters?
It'll be two semesters.
Oh, okay. You're almost done, man.
Yeah, I don't have. I only have four classes left.
What's the plan after you graduate?
Hey, you got me right now.
I mean, you're gonna look for a job?
I'll look for a job.
Uh-huh. So comedy seems like maybe it's not a career path for you. It's more of a, is it like a social thing or?
No, it's definitely not a social thing. That's what I want to do.
You do want to do comedy?
Yeah, that's definitely what I want to do. I like having a fallback.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
Yeah.
So you said that it's not a social thing for you, meaning you don't talk to a lot of the comics that are around?
No, it's fun. It's fun for me to talk to them now.
It takes a while. It
took a while for me to. Yeah, I'm not even sure if I'm completely socially in yet. Whatever you call it.
It is kind of clicky. But now some of the leaders that were part of the scene, now they're all married and having kids now. So now it's kind of, people need to come and replace those folks,
yeah.
I think. So there's room to kind of nudge your way in. And the people that come to Sly Bar and Yard of Ale are all really cool, I've found. Everybody's been really accepting of each other. They may talk some crap behind your back, but who doesn't, you know?
Yeah, no, and it's really, always no, fun. It really doesn't mean anything. It's people just don't really have things to talk about. So
yeah,
any conversation topic you can find. Pretty much, yeah. Like if I found out someone was talking about me behind my back, which I'm sure some people do.
I haven't heard anything.
It's inevitable.
I haven't heard anything. And it's
but
more.
But if I found out, I wouldn't hold it against them really, because like I say stuff.
Yeah,
it's just fun to say. You know?
It's not malicious. It's like just making fun of that person in a funny way, not a mean way.
Yeah.
You know, but it's all harmless. I found everybody to be really cool.
Yeah, everyone. No, everyone's very very nice.
And supportive for the most
absolutely.
Part too.
Absolutely.
So, who's your what would you compare your comedy to? Who's what kind of stylings?
I don't know. I don't want to compare myself to. I'm just right now. I'm just trying to be more of a performer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I used, you know, that's like the kind of funny I want to be, like acting funny.
Yeah. Have you? Oh, you said you were doing have you done any acting at all?
Just a bunch of classes.
Yeah.
Never really been in anything.
You've taken like real acting classes, like not in school, like ones you actually go to?
In school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let me turn off this stupid phone.
And I try to consult like books too, like Stanislavski and that type of stuff.
I don't even
like
know what
the
that
famous. He's the guy that made up method acting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Who's your favorite actor?
Probably Bill Murray.
He's great.
Yeah,
classic.
He's
can
awesome.
Do anything. Hilarious, and then can do dramatic roles, too.
Yeah, Groundhog Day is probably my favorite movie.
Yeah, that's a great one. Stripes.
Stripes is pretty good.
Lost in Translation.
First half. I only watched the first half of Lost in Translation. I should probably try to finish it.
A little slow.
I got bored when I watched it, but maybe it's worth finishing.
I dug it, but I kind of like slower things.
I got you. Okay.
And I'll watch anything Bill Murray's in, too.
Fair enough.
Doesn't matter what it is, yeah. So have you thought about like trying to do some acting around here? I know there's like Facebook groups that you can join, and they always have casting calls and all that.
Yeah, I'm sort of trying to just practice my acting on stage while I'm doing stand-up.
Uh-huh.
Sort of. I'm trying to become a better actor by doing stand-up.
Right. So is this like the, because you do pick up a little bit on stage, is that part of, how do you prepare for that performance? Well, how do you get in the zone?
I don't really prepare. I just sort of feel a lot more anonymity when I'm on stage. I'm a lot more free on stage than I am. Because there's sort of an optional fourth wall with stand-up, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
So I don't really feel within limits that anything I say people are going to judge me for.
Right.
Whereas if I say something, there are plenty of things I can say in a conversation that people are going to judge me for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think I'm a lot less inhibited. Also because I've got a little bit more experience now than I used to.
Yeah. And you can say whatever you want. And then if you get, you know, like, oh, jokes, guys, right?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, hey, good... this is fun. Yeah, I guess you always have that, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, how old are you?
22.
Oh, you're a young kid still. I hate saying that because I'm only 31, but I feel like an old person at this point. But 22 is pretty young. And you're going to have a master's degree at 22?
I'll be 23 by then, but...
All right. That's still pretty good, man. You can, like, do anything.
Yeah, I mean, the academic stuff has never really been hard for me. I guess you want what you don't have.
Like, yeah.
You know, being funny. This. For some reason, I just have that drive, even though I never really...
Why? Why do you have that drive if you're academic and could make a bunch of money doing computer stuff?
It's interesting. I feel like being funny is the only skill people are gonna actually like you for having.
Okay, I can
like,
see
people
that.
People aren't really gonna like you for being smart. People aren't really gonna like you for being good looking. Like, you know, women might be attracted to you, but like, people aren't generally gonna like you. I feel like comedy. It's sort of the cheat, because I like really care what people think about me.
Do you?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Why?
Just the way I'm wired, I guess. I mean, you know, obviously, with anything, it's, you know, you. I think everyone cares what people think about them. They're just other things they care about more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it when people say they don't care, because obviously you do.
Yeah.
I think everyone does. Maybe once people get, like, really old, they don't care anymore, but...
Yeah, I guess you care to a certain extent. You want people to like you.
Yeah.
But I think you get to a point, too, where you understand that...
You can't please everyone.
Yeah. Right, and the realization for me was that there are people that I don't like for no good reason. Just don't...
Yes.
Not a fan. They didn't do anything to me. They didn't do anything to anybody else. They're just a person on the planet. Not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
So that's the way it's always going to be with everybody, man. Not going to be able to please everybody.
But you can get a higher percentage.
That's true.
Yeah.
If you're entertaining, yeah.
No one's going to please everyone, but some people probably got like 20%. So other people might have like 95% or something. So.
Yeah. What was growing up like for you? Did you grow up here?
Yeah, I grew up here. I was born in Boca Raton. I moved here when I was 7. I would say middle school and high school really blew. And then college was pretty awesome.
Picked up from there, yeah.
Didn't know it at the time, really.
Why did middle school and high school weren't the best?
I guess I got picked on a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was also, like, I mean, like, I don't hold it against them because I, like, picked on people, too. And I guess that's the way everyone is. But, like, I was, like, also, like, complete piece of shit, like, in middle school.
Yeah, well, I think everybody is when they're, but in that age, that's the worst.
I think everyone's a piece of shit, but I went, like, above and beyond.
Oh, really? Why would you do? Do you have an example?
I had this friend who's, I'm still friends with him because, like, he's taller and dude. I had this friend, his dad killed himself. I used to make fun of him all the time
His
dad killing himself.
That's pretty bad.
Is pretty bad. That's piece of shit.
But you're friends with him.
I'm still friends with him. Nice.
That's cool.
He's a tolerant person. We never stopped being friends. It was just,
Yeah. So. Was it light ribbing or like really mean stuff?
I had a lot of different scenarios.
Yeah.
One, I'd like, he'd like take home like a really bad report card and then his dad kill himself.
he killed himself because of you.
That was the general point of the joke.
Yeah.
But as I say, I was like a complete piece of shit, and I was also like really fat too. Were you really? I peaked at like 250.
That's pretty big. That's like what I am now.
That was like.
Well,
I didn't wear it well at all.
How did you lose the weight?
I exercised more. I used to drink. Like, I actually have a really good metabolism, so I can't even say I lost the weight. So you can too.
Yeah.
I can't say that to people. But like in high school, I was like a freaking soda addict.
Yeah.
I drank like more. I was probably like 99th percentile in how much soda I drank per day.
Like Your parents just let you have soda? They didn't lay any rules down on you?
I'd like sneak it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You could get it at school
every
too.
Day. Yeah, every day. I'd go to restaurants. I'd drink like five sodas there. And then every day I'd get home from school, I'd walk to the gas station. It was like a mile away.
Getting some exercise?
And I'd get...
It's good.
Didn't make up for what I did. I'd get like probably three bottles, drink them all on the way home.
Oh, wow.
Three. So that's like 60 ounces right there. So I could have easily like clocked in like a gallon of soda a day.
Wow.
When I was in high school. So I just stopped that. Then I got down to like 210. And lately I've been at like 190 something because I've been exercising more. But
yeah, it's easy to do. I was a fat kid too. I'm a fat adult, too, as well. But after high school, I was like 260, 265 graduating high school, and then worked out during that summer and got down to 190.
It's not really that hard at all.
Especially at 19.
We say a lot of things are hard, but it's not really hard. It just blows.
Yeah.
I would say, like I think working a 9-to-5 is hard, but, I mean... Not really. You just wake up, go there.
Yeah.
It just blows, you know?
Yeah. But you just got to do it, yeah. Yeah, so going to the gym at 19, it was a little easier. I tried to go to the gym again. Now, not as productive as I used to be.
Yeah.
You have more responsibilities now. Your metabolism is not as good as it once was. That's the bell curve. Once you're 30, it's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
But I could do it if I really wanted to. I guess I just don't want to is the thing. All right, Tommy, we got to go, man. Can you promote your social media and where to find you?
I'm TommyGill21 on Twitter. I forgot what my Instagram was called, but I have one. It's just TommyGill on Facebook.
All right. Well, Tommy, that was a little like pulling teeth, but thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. Make sure you come see Tommy at the Sly Bar open mic every second and fourth Tuesday. You don't have any shows or anything, do you?
Nah.
Not promoting anything? Okay. Well, let me see if I can find the music. Where's the music? Boy. I know I queued it up. Oh, there it is. Okay, very good. Check out hmbradio.com for more podcasts, including James Bailey's. My mom's favorite podcast. Follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man. Make sure you follow Radio St. Pete as well. Facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. Facebook.com/HMB Radio. Leave a message for us or a text message. 813-693-2124. And you can email me if you want at thehomemadebroadcast@RadioSt.Pete.com. Tommy, thanks again, man.
Appreciate it.
Talk to you all next week. Have a great one.